Welcome back, everybody. And of course, we always enjoy having you visit our website at where?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And of course, Facebook. We like to have you check us out as well. And I'm going to be working at trying to get alerts on Facebook so you guys know what's happening and what we're going to be talking about on Facebook. So like us, please. We're going to be working on getting that out there pretty darn quick, as the saying goes. In looking at a ton of articles, as I do, because when you go to produce a show like this, you cover so many different websites and different stories and different things you've experienced, and you try to plug them all together and make them timely and make it so that it fits, you know, everybody from you guys out in Michigan and Kalamazoo to Pierce, South Dakota, to Pine City, to everywhere else that's in between. Because that's the reach of this show, which is super cool, and we're glad to have all of you guys listening. So we try to cover everything, and I think we're getting there. I know the fun part is when you look at the listenership, it's pretty crazy, and we enjoy that fact. So we, again, thank you guys for listening. But when you put all these things together, the stories that come out, you like, okay, oh, this is a cool story, or I've got a one next week we have is a kind of a cool special interest story from a buddy of mine that used to work with the FLW Walleye Tour, and he's off doing his own thing now. So really some pretty cool stories on that part of it. But we know a lot about walleye fishing and other fishing pieces and parts, and a lot of our listener group, whether you're in South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, wherever you're listening, generally most people have a goal is, I would like to go to Erie sometime. Lake Erie is like the walleye mecca of the world.
Sure.
It's just crazy what size fish, and, you know, you get a possession limit is, I believe it's 6 fish a day, however
nice.
Many days you're there.
Right.
Possession is however many days you were there, which that's crazy. It's awesome.
Right.
But it's crazy.
So
I started to pull up. There's an article I pulled up here that I wasn't sure if I was going to put it in the show today, but I'm like, you know, I think we're going to. There's a lot of people heading out to going to Erie this time of year. It's not as much of a big fish time right now. The fish have migrated to the east. But nonetheless, there's still a ton of fish being caught out there in the reefs. The weather's more stable. You can actually get out with smaller boats and enjoy your time on the lake. Still have to be obviously cognizant of the weather. But nonetheless, the story came up, and we're talking about the walleye populations. And you heard Lake Erie a long time ago used to be the lake on fire. I mean, literally in some of the rivers in Ohio, they had so much pollution that the river at one point actually had a fire in the water because of the oil and other things that was on the water.
Mm-hmm.
It's since made a gigantic comeback, and I know I've got a lot of friends out there that guide out there, and Jules Guide Service is one of them. She's amazing out there. And nonetheless, what you find is Lake Erie numbers, and this is one of the things that conversation came up as, one of the people from the DNR, Division of Wildlife Lake Erie Program Administrator, he said, the Erie walleye fishing and the importance of the pursuit is across the lake is incredible, but hard to believe how many people it impacts. The funny part about this is walleyes have tails, he said. They don't recognize jurisdictions, all of which makes Lake Erie Committee of the Great Lakes Fishery Commission, which sets the lake's total allowable catch, they call it TAC or TAC, all that much more important because you have to set a limit. It's like Mille Lacs right now. We've had that battle back and forth. You and I have talked to the various people, Ava, with, hey, what's the limit going to be? Oh, it's going to be 1 or it's going to be 2.
Right.
And anybody who's paid attention to walleye fishing on Erie is aware that it's an all-time high point right now. This guy would even go so far to say that Lake Erie might just offer the best walleye fishing in the world. Right now, the DNR fisheries person says, right now in the current era, we're harvesting more walleyes than we ever have. And he said, walleyes are a long-lived fish. We conserve walleye. They have the ability to offer good fishing for a long time. And it wasn't such a long time ago that the hatch in 2002 was thought to be unmatched. There's no way that they could have that many walleye back in 2002. 2003 said, we'll never see that good of fishing as we had in the 80s. And apparently we are in the repeat of the 80s and accelerating past it. The Erie is performing at a level like they've never, ever seen. Benchmark for good fishing on Lake Erie, he said, is when the lake has more than 60 million walleye swimming in its waters. And that would be today. That follows on the heels 9-year run of high walleye populations and increasing sport fishing. So even though the take's going up, the populations are still growing. So it's a good indication of what's really going on. The norm is a quick limit of nice fish, whether reports coming from the Western or Central Basin. And that's one of the things to keep in mind. Generally, if you're going to take a guide boat out, we call them head boats, they'll take six people out. You go fish the reefs, and you'll get your 3 to 5 pound fish. If you take a more of a private guide in a smaller boat, you're going to be trolling for the bigger fish. And generally, it's going to be a trolling bite for the most part, unless you request to do some casting, which you can catch fish there doing it as well. But I will say that when you want the big dogs, the trolling bite is absolutely incredible, and they don't disappoint. They're amazing people, and the guides out there that do that are great. Finally, the commentary is that times could get better on Lake Erie. We're approaching one of the best times for trophy walleye fishing, but not quite yet, just on the doorstep. And the interesting thing is, while walleye catch rates have increased on an annual basis, the hours of effort for the species has not. Anglers today are just much better at catching walleye, whether it be trolling or casting. And I think the other thing to make note of is, if you can spend less time catching fish, that's a big indication that the population of fish is definitely up and their need to eat, because they're virtually eating machines is really what it comes down to.
Okay.
So I think it's, in my opinion, one of the most fun fisheries to go to. The peak time frames are obviously it's going to be April, May, June. And the question you have is April, May, the weather can be, if you go for 4 days, plan on two of them of not being able to get out to fish. Because the weather is just, you get prevailing winds that come out of the east, and it just gets pretty tough. If it's out of the south, you can still get out and fish. We did a Winkleman show out of Lake Erie, and we ended up just drifting jigs one day because it was too rough to get out to the main lake, and then it cleared up, and we went and caught a ton of fish, and it was a great show. You can look it up and find it online, Winkleman, Lake Erie, and Eric Olson, and it was an amazing show, but a lot of fun. And let's just put it this way. You don't ever have a moment that's not a big fish on the line. So
awesome.
Want to definitely discuss one of the hits that I talked about, Minnesota deer hunting rules. They get a major overhaul with a shotgun zone repeal. In a move that got hunters across Minnesota buzzing, the state's legislature is finalizing and has finalized deer hunting regulations. The environment omnibus bill, which includes a provision to eliminate the state's long-standing shotgun-only zone, slated and completed, and it was done on June 9th, my bad. It marks the end of an era for a rule that's been in place for over 8 decades, and a change that many have been eagerly awaiting. Now, here's the history that I think you'd be interested in, Ava. The law originally passed in the 40s was designed to protect the state's deer population when numbers were low. Back then, the concern was overhunting and limiting hunters to shotguns, which have a shorter range than rifles, and was seen as a way to give deer a better chance to thrive. Fast forward to today, it couldn't be more different. If we look at what's gone on with the populations, it's not only recovered, but they've grown to the point of overpopulation. It's led to crop damage, deer vehicle collisions, and other challenges. And the repeal doesn't necessarily mean a free-for-all. What it does mean is some counties, Olmsted and Dodge, have been exempted from the change, meaning shotgun-only rules will remain in place there for now. Additionally, the bill allows counties to set their own firearms restrictions, giving local governments the power to tailor regulations to their specific
which
needs.
Which it should be.
Yeah. The challenge, though, is, and you have to think about this, if you're near a border of Olmsted County and Dodge, if you're hunting outside of the county and you are close to that border, you need to make sure where you're at. If you're hunting with a rifle, if you wander in to that county, you cannot shoot, and my guess is you cannot possess that rifle in that county. So you need to be aware of what's going on within that county area. So that's the challenge that was brought up in this legislative session and prior to why it did not pass. One of the things that they look at as far as what conditions would be indicative of maintaining a shotgun area is where regions where homes or farms are close together. Local officials might opt to keep tighter controls on firearms to reduce the risk. Now, this is new possibilities that open up. Rifles, particularly those chambered in large calibers like a 35 caliber and above, will now be legal in former shotgun-only zones. The change could make hunting more accessible and appealing, especially for those who have invested in high-quality rifles who want versatility. A lever action 357, for example, would meet the caliber requirements, while a smaller rifle rounds like a 270 or 300 might still be off limits in some areas. Now, I doubt that. That's the article saying it. If you have a 270 or 300, I doubt they're going to get to the refinement to the point where you can't take a long range rifle and not use it if you're going to say rifle, but we'll see. You need to check in the county specific rules to stay compliant, but the overall shift is a step toward more freedom in how and what rifles are used. It also reflects a broader change in Minnesota's approach to management. So think about this, Ava. You know, we're always talking about how do we manage wildlife. Well, in this particular case, overpopulation has caused habitat degradation, increased road accidents, and this method change could help that extensively and maintain herds in areas that they are not being regulated
properly
as much.
Yeah.
Exactly. So kind of an important piece there. It also comes up in where mixed terrain, where shotguns are less practical, could lead to healthier deer herds and fewer conflicts with landowners and drivers. For many, the end of the zone feels, the shotgun zone feels like a long overdue victory. It's not just rifles versus shotguns. It's about updating rules to match the times. That rule in 1940, when deer were scarce, not such a good situation now, and it's going to help a lot. I think hunters across Minnesota, they're going to be looking at better ways to be able to harvest. They can use different rifles that they haven't had before.
Yes, I'm excited.
I know you get to do that. You're in the general area, so that's kind of cool. And I think it's a good way to do this. And of course, always, as always, check the regs. You're going to find it'll be in the regs as far as what.
Yeah, so we actually received letters about it. The DNR was asking our opinion before this was brought forward.
Yep.
You know, how do you feel about dropping the regulation? Pretty cool.
So how did your group, what is your group, what did they say?
Well, I don't know what my hunting party said.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we would love it to go away for sure.
And what's the reasoning?
I guess just because we're used to rifle hunting up north. So my 25-06, I haven't been able to use for multiple years. It'd be great to be able to.
I think that piece of, history, if you look at a lot of kids, they may have a 32 caliber or, you know, something like that. And believe it or not, if you take a 12-gauge shotgun, it actually will kick more than a 32
or
in that realm. So, that's why I started with a 32. 35 Whalen, all these larger calibers. If you're in an area where you don't want a long range, you know, for a younger hunter that may not be as adept. So that's a lot of cool options that come into play.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool.
Good deal.
There was no question. Everybody was on board.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
What was the reasoning? They're like, oh, this is awesome. Because now,
You can take longer shots, too. Which is nice.
Instead of...
And I don't know. I'm just more comfortable with a rifle than a shotgun.
Perfect. Good answer.
There you go.
Speaking of shotguns, how about that for a segue? Perfect scores were shot amid some tough weather conditions at the Minnesota State Trap Championship that was held in Alexandria. It would be unusual during the course of 9 days of a trap shoot in early June to not run into a few weather-related hiccups. The student-athletes certainly experienced some of that as heavy rains hit Alexandria in the west-central portion of the state, caused some delays in competition, but in the end, the shooting park in Alexandria hosted almost 8,100 student-athletes. Is that not crazy?
Mm-hmm.
From 335 schools in Minnesota for the State High School Clay Target League Championship trap shooting. And every registered athlete they may shoot in the event that has done the Clay Target League in some way, shape, or form in high school. Opportunity to compete against kids in the same level in novice, junior varsity, and varsity divisions. Things went exceptionally well, other than the weather. And they've already seen 8 perfect 100 scores.
Wow.
Which is crazy. Each athlete shoots 50 clays in the morning, followed by 50 in the afternoon, competing for individual accolades as well as team honors, with 5 individual scores coming from each program. Top 40 teams from entire 9-day event qualify for the state league's championship at the Minneapolis Gun Club on June 20th. So a lot of cool stuff.
So just happened.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Literally just did. And I'm going to rattle through quick. Richfield won Class A, 1A. Wheaton, 2A. 3A was Hibbing, 4A was Park Rapids, 5A Tri-City United, 6A Alexandria, 7A Stewartville, 8A Prior Lake, and 9A Rosemont. So congrats to all those young shooters, and what a great job for you guys.
Awesome.
So fantastic. And hey, what's fantastic, you guys hung out with us for the whole show. That's awesome, and we certainly hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy time outside. It's going to be beautiful this weekend. And
a little
always,
hot, but we'll be okay.
Hey, as always, be safe, just enjoy, and we'll see you next week. Thanks much.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio, brought to you by Vexus Boats, building dreams with an unequaled passion for excellence. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.